I couldn't do either. I close my eyes, not wanting to tell him the real reason why I couldn't do it. But it's Ben. He's easy to talk to. It was different. He made me feel, I don't know, flawed. I can see the roll in Ben's throat when he swallows.
Explain,
he says, his voice clipped. I like that he seems a little upset, like he doesn't actually want to hear about me making out with someone else. I especially like how he seems a little protective of me. I think Ben has more alpha in him than he gives himself credit for. I blow out a heavy breath, preparing for the honesty I shouldn't really want to share, but for some reason want to share. Last year, when you touched me, you made me feel pretty, like I didn't have any scars. Or, not like that, I said that wrong. You made me feel like the scars were part of what made me pretty, and I've never once felt like that. Nor did I think I'd ever feel like that. So when I was with Cody, I noticed everything. How he only touched the right side of my face. How he only kissed the right side of my neck. How, when we were making out, he insisted the lights be off. Ben makes a face like he's in pain again, but this time he's very convincing.
Go on,
he says, forcing the words out of his mouth. He tried to take off my bra at one point, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't want him to see it. He was really nice about it and didn't ask me to keep going. And if I'm being honest, that bothered me a little. I kind of wanted him to console me and act like he still wanted me, but he seemed a little relieved that I stopped it. Ben rolls onto his back and rubs his hands up and down his face. After a moment, he resumes his position, looking down on me.
Please don't ever speak to that fucking douchebag again.
A surprising wave of heat rolls over me with those words. His thumb brushes my jaw, and his expression is full of sincerity.
What didn't you want him to see?
The confusion on my face prompts him to be more detailed.
You said I didn't want him to see it, but if your shirt was already off, and he already saw your scars, what is it you're referring to?
I swallow. I want to pull a pillow over my face and hide. I can't believe he caught that. In fact, I think I will pull a pillow over my face.
Stop,
he says when I try to grab for the pillow. He tucks it back under my head and leans in closer.
It's me, Fallon. Don't be embarrassed. Tell me what you were referring to.
I inhale a deep breath, hoping more air in my lungs will somehow give me more courage to answer him. And then I release the breath as slow as possible, so I can drag out having to answer him. I cover my eyes with my arm and say it as fast as I can. My left breast. I wait for him to ask more questions or make me move my arm, but he doesn't. I can't believe I just told him that. I've never told anyone that, not even Amber. During the fire, not only was most of the left half of my body burned, but as if that wasn't punishment enough, I was injured when they tried to pull me out the top story window. Luckily, I don't remember anything between falling asleep that night and waking up in the hospital, but the scars are a daily reminder. And my left breast bore the brunt of most of it. And I'm not stupid. I know to guys, breasts are supposed to be beautiful and symmetrical, and mine aren't. I feel Ben's hand meet my wrist, and he pulls my arm from my face. He gently palms my cheek.
Why would it bother you for anyone to see it? Because it's scarred?
I nod. But then I shake my head. This is so embarrassing, Ben.
Not to me, he says. And it sure as hell shouldn't be for you. I've seen you without a shirt already, remember? As I recall, it was pretty magnificent. You've seen me without a shirt, but you should see me without a bra, you would understand. Ben immediately lifts up onto his elbow. Okay. I stare at him in disbelief. That wasn't an invitation, but I want to see it. I shake my head. I even laugh because there's no way in hell I'm just gonna plop my boob out of my shirt so he can gawk at its hideousness. I want to do the book justice, and your injuries are something I have to talk about, so you should let me see it. We'll consider it research. It feels like his words just backhanded my heart.
What?
My voice is so unsteady it sounds like I'm crying, but I'm not. Yet.
What do you mean you'll have to talk about it in the book? You aren't really writing about my scars, are you?
Confusion encompasses his face. It's part of your story. Of course I'm writing about it. I lift up on my elbows and narrow my eyes in his direction.
I wanted you to fictionalize me and make me pretty, Ben. You can't make the main character a freak show. No one wants to identify with that. Main characters should be beautiful and...
Ben immediately rolls on top of me and covers my mouth with his hand. He inhales a deep breath in preparation for what seems like a fight. He releases it quickly, his jaw twitching with irritation.
You listen to me,
he says, keeping his hand secured over my mouth so that I can't interrupt him. It pisses me off that you allow something so trivial to define such a huge part of you. I can't make you pretty in this book, because that would be an insult. You're fucking beautiful, and you're funny, and the only times I'm not completely enamored by you are the moments you're feeling sorry for yourself. Because I don't know if you've realized this yet, but you're alive, Fallon. And every time you look in the mirror, you don't have the right to hate what you see, because you survived when a lot of people didn't get that lucky. So from now on, when you think about your scars, you aren't allowed to resent them. You're going to embrace them, because you're lucky to be on this earth to see them. And any guy you allow to touch your scars better thank you for that privilege. My chest hurts. I can't breathe. He removes his hand from my mouth, and when he does, I gasp for breath. My eyes rim with tears, and I can't stop myself from shaking as I try to suppress them. Ben lowers himself completely on top of me, cradling my head in his hands. He presses his lips to the side of my head and then whispers,
"You deserved that, Fallon."
And I nod, because he's right. He's right. Of course he's right. I'm alive, and I'm healthy, and yes, the fire left its thumbprint on my skin, but it didn't take the most important parts of me. It wasn't able to reach anything beneath the surface. So why am I treating myself like it did? I have to stop doing this to myself.
Shh,
he whispers, thumbing the tears on my cheeks. My emotions are all over the place. I'm so pissed that he felt he has the right to even talk to me that way. But the fact that he just talked to me that way made my heart wish it had lips so it could kiss him. And I'm pissed off at myself for being so self-centered these last few years. Sure, the fire sucked. Yes, I wish it never happened, but it did, and I can't change it, so I need to get over it. I want to laugh, because everything he just said feels like a weight has been removed from my chest, and I'm breathing for the first time in 3 years. Everything feels different, newer, like the air is buzzing,
reminding me that I'm lucky to be here, breathing it in. So I do just that. I take in a deep breath, and I throw my arms around him, burying my head in the crevice of his neck and shoulder.
Thank you,
I whisper.
You asshole.
I feel him laughing, so I lie back down on my pillow and allow him to wipe more tears away. He's looking down at me like I'm a beautiful mess, and I'm not going to allow myself to question that. Because I am. I'm a beautiful fucking mess. And he's lucky to be on top of me right now. I slide my hands to his chest and feel his heart pounding through his shirt. It's pounding as hard as mine is.
We lock eyes, and he doesn't ask permission when he dips his head and brushes my mouth with his.
Fallon, I'm worked up so damn tight. I'm gonna kiss you now, and I'm not sorry.
And then his lips claim mine. My head is swimming. My body feels like it's floating, and I can't move my arms. But I don't have to, because he raises my hands above my head and interlocks our fingers, pushing them into the mattress. His tongue slides against mine, and there's so much feeling in it. It's as if he's kissing me the same way he looks at me, from the inside out. He slowly plants kisses down my neck, keeping my hands secured to the bed, not allowing me to touch him back while he explores my skin. God, I've missed him. I've missed the way I feel when I'm with him. I wish I could have this every day. Once a year isn't near enough. The pressure on my right hand disappears as he runs his fingers down the length of my arm, all the way to my waist. His mouth has returned to mine, and he's kissing me again, as his hand slowly begins to crawl inside my shirt. Just feeling his fingertips on my skin reminds me of why I think about him every night. When my head meets my pillow,
I'm taking off your shirt,
he says. I don't even hesitate.
I don't even hesitate?
He pulls the shirt over my head and tosses it behind him. His eyes fall to my breasts, covered with a black lace bra that I was convinced he wouldn't see tonight. He smiles a devilish smile, running his fingertips over the lace. He cups my right breast in his hand, dragging his thumb over the fabric covering my nipple. The second he does that, I flinch because I've read enough books to know that the next move is going to be touching me beneath the fabric. My entire body tenses because I don't think I want him to remove my bra. I don't want him to see all of me. No one has ever seen all of me.
Baby,
he says, sliding his lips across my chest.
Relax, okay?
I could try, but now I'm tense because he called me baby and not because he's about to go where no one has gone before. I've always found that term of endearment to be a little grating, but it so works when he says it. I thread my fingers through the back of his hair and guide him toward my left breast, wondering how this went from 0 to 10 in a matter of seconds. Oh God, he's pulling down my bra strap. His mouth is right there, trailing over the curve of my breast, and his fingers are pulling the material lower. 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 Gone. I feel the air against my exposed breast, but my eyes are closed too tight to see the look on his face. But I can feel his lips as he kisses his way across my chest without hesitation, sliding his tongue against my skin, sucking and kissing and squeezing and enjoying.
Fallon.
He wants me to look at him, but I'm much more comfortable with my eyes closed.
Open your eyes, Fallon.
I can do this. I open my eyes, and I'm staring up at the ceiling.
I can do this.
I slowly bring my gaze down until I'm looking him in the eyes.
You're beautiful. Every inch of you is so beautiful.
He presses his lips between my breasts and then drags them slowly across my skin, running his tongue over my scars. I wait for him to make an excuse to back away from me, but he doesn't. He grins up at me instead.
Are you okay? Can I keep going?
My first inclination is to shake my head because I shouldn't want him to. Any time I've imagined this happening with a guy in the past, I picture myself with a perfect body and no scars. But here I am, staring down at Ben, as he explores every part of me I've wished were different. And he's actually enjoying it. And so am I. I nod, and maybe moan again because holy shit, he looks hot. The fact that I'm the reason for that heated look in his eyes makes me feel even more desirable than when I imagine being perfect. He kisses his way back up my neck until he's over me. He slides a hand to the nape of my neck and dips his head.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to slow myself down when I'm with you.
But not only does he slow himself down, he stops completely. Because the door to his bedroom swings open. Ben lies on top of me in a flash, covering me, but he isn't fast enough for me to miss the girl standing in the doorway, wide-eyed. Oh God, the door, a girl. Ben? She says. I think I might panic.
Can we have a minute, Jordan?
Ben says without looking back at her. The door quickly slams shut, and a muffled apology comes from the other side of it. Sorry. Oh, wow, so sorry. Her reaction isn't that of a pissed-off girlfriend, so that fills me with relief. It does little to relieve my embarrassment, though.
I'm so sorry, Ben says. I had no idea she was home.
He gives me a quick peck on the mouth and then lifts up.
Don't worry. This is way more embarrassing for her than it is for us.
I pull my bra back up over my breasts and I sit up on the bed.
Speak for yourself.
Ben retrieves my shirt from the foot of the bed and returns to me, helping me pull it over my head. He's grinning.
It's not funny, I whisper.
He laughs quietly.
If you knew Jordan, you'd know that this is actually hilarious.
I feel out of the loop, and it isn't until this moment that I realize how very little I actually know about Ben.
Is she your sister? She will be in a few days,
he says, answering me as he slips on his shoes.
She's marrying my brother Kyle this weekend. They're having the wedding out back.
He has a brother? I'm reminded of how little I actually know about his family. The wedding is here? Do they live here? He nods.
My brothers and I inherited the house after my mom died. We all live here since there's plenty of space. My older brother travels a lot, so he's gone more than he's here, though. Kyle and Jordan share the master bedroom downstairs.
I don't know why I assumed Ben was an only child, and I had no idea his mother passed away. I feel like this guy whose mouth was just devouring my breasts is a complete stranger. He must see the confusion and embarrassment still on my face, so he leans over me and smiles reassuringly.
We'll play 20 questions later, and you'll know almost everything about me, as boring as my life is. But for now, I want you to meet my future sister.
He pulls on my hands until I'm standing. I put my shoes back on and follow him out of the bedroom. We get to the top of the stairs and he stops and gives me the sweetest, softest kiss before continuing his descent to find Jordan. Blame it on the fact that I'm a sucker for romance novels, but I've been convinced that the grander the gesture, the greater the love. Some of my favorite scenes from the books I read are those pivotal points in the arc of the story when the guy declares his love for the girl in a huge way. But the way this one little kiss from Ben just left me feeling, I think I've been overlooking the best parts of romance novels. Maybe the grand gestures don't matter nearly as much as all the inconsequential things between the two main characters. It makes me want to go back and reread everything I've ever read, now that I'm experiencing these things with someone in real life. I'm so sorry, someone is saying as Ben pulls me into the kitchen. I had no idea you were home, and I was looking for scissors, but you are home, and she's definitely not a pair of scissors. She's cute, shorter than me, California blonde hair, and a face that can't hide a single emotion. Because right now, just looking at her, I can tell she's about to crack. Jordan, this is Fallon, Ben says, gesturing toward me. I wave. And Jordan immediately crosses the room and hugs me. Nice to meet you, Fallon. Don't be embarrassed. It's perfectly normal for Ben to have girls in his room. I cut my eyes to Ben, and he lifts his hands in defense like he has no idea why she just said that. I lift my palms up in a help me gesture because she's clinging tight, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Ben clears his throat, and Jordan finally releases me. Oh God, that totally came out wrong, she says, shaking out her hands. It's not normal for him to have girls in his room. Not at all what I meant, she says. I just mean it's nothing to be ashamed of. We're all adults. I wasn't implying that you're one of many. In fact, he rarely ever brings girls here, so that's why I didn't think twice before walking into his room, because it's so rare I never thought he'd actually be in there. With you. With a girl. She's pacing now, and every time I catch a glimpse of her face, she looks on the verge of tears. I've never seen anyone more in need of a hug than she is right now. I walk over to her, and she stops pacing. I place both of my hands on her shoulders. I take a deep, exaggerated breath, straightening my posture. She copies the movement, dragging air into her lungs. I calmly exhale, and she follows suit. I smile. It's okay, Jordan. Ben and I are absolutely fine. But you look like you could use a drink. Or 10. She nods feverishly and then slaps her hand over her mouth as soon as the tears come. Oh, Jesus, what now? I look to Ben for help, but he's looking at me like this is completely normal behavior for her. He does make his way toward her, though, turning her around to face him. Hey, Ben says soothingly, pulling her into a hug. What's wrong? She shakes her head, pointing toward another room.
The placeholders came, and half of them are spelled wrong, and the tables and chairs were supposed to be here this morning, but they moved delivery to tomorrow, and tomorrow doesn't work because tomorrow is when I'm supposed to have my last fitting. And now I have to be here for the delivery, and my mom's flight was canceled, so she can't help me finish the flower arrangements tonight, and...
Ben cuts her off. Calm down, he says. He motions toward the refrigerator, so I walk to the kitchen and find a half-full bottle of wine. I pour Jordan a glass while Ben calms her down. When I hand it to her, she's sitting on a bar stool, wiping at her tears.
Thank you,
she says as she takes the wine.
I'm normally not this crazy or high-strung, but it's the worst week of my life. And I know it'll be worth it in the end, but...
She eyes me hard.
Never get married.
ever. Unless you go to Vegas.
I make it look like I'm soaking in her advice, but her stress level is enough to make anyone not look forward to a wedding.
Wait, she says, pointing at me. Your name is Fallon? As in Fallon O'Neill?
Oh, no. It's not often I get recognized from the show, but when it does happen, it's usually by girls who are about Jordan's age. Girls who probably watched the show religiously.
You aren't the actress who used to star in that detective show, are you?
Ben's arm goes around my shoulder like he's proud of that fact.
She sure is.
No way, she says. I used to watch that show all the time.
Well, until they replaced you with that one chick who couldn't act worth a flip. That comment makes me feel good. I couldn't bring myself to watch the show after I was replaced, but I won't lie and say I wasn't a little relieved that it went off the air 2 seasons later, due to a drop in ratings.
Why did you quit the show? She says, and then, oh, wait, I remember you were injured, right? Is that where you got the scars from?
I can feel Ben's arm immediately tense.
Jordan,
he says. I appreciate that he's attempting to intercept the conversation for my sake, but it's hard to be offended by Jordan when it's obvious she's just curious and not at all judging.
It's fine,
I say, as soon as she looks like she's about to apologize. It was an unfortunate accident, and it sucked that I had to quit the show. But I'm grateful I survived. It could have been a lot worse. I feel Ben press a kiss against the side of my head, and I assume it's because he appreciates that the encouraging words he said to me upstairs might have actually sunk in. The front door slams, and everyone's attention shifts from the conversation about my career to the sound of a man's voice.
Where's my little bitch?
He calls out.
Oh, Lord, I hope this isn't the groom.
Ian's home,
Ben says. He grabs my hand and pulls me toward the living room.
Come meet my big brother.
I follow Ben into the living room to see a man kneeling down by the front door, petting a little white dog.
There's my little bitch,
he says sweetly to the dog. As sweet as that sentence can sound, anyway.
Look what the cat flew in,
Ben says, getting the guy's attention. It isn't until Ian stands up that I notice he's in a pilot's uniform. Ben immediately motions toward me. I'm not gonna lie, meeting new people is awkward enough. But meeting Ben's family is a whole new level of awkward.
Ian, this is Fallon. Fallon, Ian.
Ian immediately steps forward and grabs my hand, shaking it. He and Ben look so much alike. I can't help but stare. He's got Ben's strong jaw, and they have the same mouth. But Ian is slightly taller and has blonde hair.
And Fallon is your...
He leaves the sentence hanging, waiting for Ben to finish it. But Ben stares at me and waits for me to finish it.
What the hell? Talk about being put on the spot.
I'm Ben's... plotline? Ben laughs loudly, but Ian cocks a curious eyebrow. He looks even more like Ben when he does this.
You finally writing an actual book?
Ian asks him. Ben rolls his eyes and grabs my hand to pull me back toward the stairs.
She's not my plot line. She's my girlfriend, and today is our 1-year anniversary.
Jordan is in the living room now, standing next to Ian. They're both looking at Ben like he's been keeping the world's biggest secret.
You've been dating for a whole year?
Jordan asks, directing her question at me. Before I can tell her he's only kidding, she throws her hands up in defeat.
Ben, you told me you weren't bringing a plus one. I didn't order enough chairs and oh my God, it's probably too late.
She storms out of the room to go make an unnecessary phone call. I slap Ben on the arm. That was so mean, she's already stressed as it is. He laughs and then rolls his eyes dramatically with a groan.
Fine.
He follows after Jordan. And as soon as it's just me and Ian in the room, the front door opens. Again. Jesus Christ, how many people can fit in this house? When the next guy walks through the front door, he sees Ian first. They hug, and he slaps Ian on the back.
You said you didn't come in until tomorrow.
Ian shrugs.
Miles took today's runs for me so I could get here sooner. Weather is supposed to be bad tomorrow, and I didn't want to get delayed.
The brother I don't know yet says,
Dude, if you would have missed the rehearsal dinner, Jordan would have my...
His voice trails off when he notices me standing in the middle of the living room. I expect him to say something, but he just carefully eyes me up and down with suspicion, as if they don't have visitors very often. Ian steps in and motions toward me.
Have you met Ben's girlfriend?
The guy's expression doesn't change other than an almost unnoticeable arch of his brow. He quickly straightens up and walks toward me.
Kyle Kessler, he says, extending a hand. And you are?
Fallon, I say in a slightly intimidated voice. Fallon O'Neill. Unlike Ian and Ben, Kyle doesn't give off the welcoming vibe. It's not that he gives off an unfriendly vibe. He's just nothing like his brothers. He's more serious, more intimidating. For a second, I see him glance at the left side of my face, and it makes me wonder what he thinks of Ben for bringing someone like me home. But then I remember Ben's words to me upstairs, and how lucky Ben is to have brought someone like me home. Rather than follow through with my initial urge to let my hair fall in my face, I stand taller, more confident. Kyle releases my hand when Ben walks back into the living room.
All is well with Jordan, he says.
Ben stops short when he sees Kyle. His eyes widen a little, as if he's shocked to see Kyle, and I notice a shift in his demeanor. He tries to cover it up with a smile.
You said you wouldn't be home until tonight.
Kyle drops his keys onto a nearby table and then points at Ben.
We need to talk.
I can't place the tone in Kyle's voice. He doesn't sound outright angry, but he also doesn't seem to be pleased with Ben. Ben shoots me a reassuring smile before following Kyle out of the room.
Be right back, he says.
I'm left alone with Ian again. I shove my hands in the pockets of my jeans, unsure of what to do with myself while I wait for Ben. Ian bends down and scoops up the little white dog at his feet. He nods his head toward the stairs.
I haven't showered in 3 days. That's where I'll be if either of them asks.
Yeah, I say. It was nice meeting you, Ian. He smiles.
You too, Fallon.
And now I'm alone. These last few minutes have been all kinds of strange. Ben's family is... interesting. I look around the living room, trying to get a clue as to who Ben is. There are pictures on the mantle of him and his brothers. I pick one up to get a closer look. It's hard to tell now, but in the earlier pictures, it's clear that Ben is the baby. And Ian is the oldest. I just have no idea how many years separate the brothers. Maybe 2 or 3. I don't see any pictures of their mother anywhere. It makes me wonder how long ago she died, and where their father is. Ben hasn't mentioned anything about him yet. I hear a loud thud come from the hallway. Worried it might be Jordan, I walk in that direction. I immediately pause when I see Ben pressed up against the wall, with Kyle's arm against his throat.
You are an idiot,
Kyle says through clenched teeth. Ben is looking at Kyle like he wants to kill him, but he isn't making an effort to fight back. Just as I'm about to rush down the hallway to pull Kyle off of him, Ben catches sight of me out of the corner of his eye. Kyle then turns to see what caught Ben's attention, and as soon as he sees me, he takes a step back, releasing Ben. I'm so confused by what just happened. Kyle is standing between Ben and me, looking back and forth between us. Just when it looks as if he's about to turn and walk away, he spins around and decks Ben right in the eye, slamming him into the wall behind him.
What the hell?
I yell at Kyle. I rush to Ben and he holds up a hand, keeping me at a distance.
It's okay, he says. Go upstairs, I'll be up in a minute.
He's covering his eye with his hand, and Kyle is still standing there, looking like he wants to hit him again. But he immediately backs down when Jordan comes rushing around the corner to take in the scene. She looks back and forth, from Kyle to Ben, in shock. Like this is completely out of character for both of them. Which makes this entire scene even more confusing. I don't have brothers, so as far as I know, brothers punch each other all the time. But going by Jordan's reaction, that's not the case in this household. She'll probably break down in tears again any second.
Did you just hit him?
She says to Kyle. For a split second, Kyle looks ashamed, as if he wants to apologize. But then, he blows out a quick breath and turns his attention to Ben.
You deserved that, he says,
backing out of the hallway.
You fucking deserved that.
Ben. We're in my bathroom, and I'm leaning against the counter as she dabs the wet washcloth against my eye, wiping away the blood. I can't believe Kyle hit me in front of her. I'm so pissed, and I'm trying to relax, but it's hard. Especially when she's pressed against me in the bathroom like this, touching my face with her fingertips. Do you want to talk about it? She reaches down for a band-aid and begins tearing it open. No. She presses the band-aid to my face and smooths it out. Should I be worried? She tosses the paper in the trash can and puts the washcloth in the sink. I face the mirror and finger the swelling around my eye. No, Fallon, you should never be worried when it comes to me. Or Kyle, for that matter. I still can't believe he hit me. In all my life, he's never hit me. He's come very close a time or two. Either he's really stressed about his wedding, or I've really pissed him off this time. Can we get out of here? I ask. She shrugs. I guess. Where do you want to go? Wherever you are. Just seeing her smile releases so much of my tension. I have an idea, she says. Are you cold? It's the third time I've asked her, and she keeps saying no, but she's shivering. I pull her against me and wrap the blanket more securely around us. She wanted to come to the beach, despite the fact that it's almost dark and November. We got takeout from Chipotle, of course, and she set up a makeshift picnic with blankets we took from my house. We finished eating about half an hour ago, and we've just been making small talk, getting to know more about each other. But with the heaviness of what happened back at the house, all of the questions so far have been safe. But neither of us has asked the other a question in at least 2 minutes, so we may be all out of small talk. Or maybe the silence is a question in itself. I'm holding her hand under the blanket, and we're both just staring at the waves as they crash against the rocks. After a while, she lays her head on my shoulder. I haven't been to the beach since I was 16, she says. Are you scared of the ocean? She lifts her head off my shoulder and pulls her knees up, wrapping her arms around them. I used to come all the time. Whenever I had a day off, this is where I'd be. But then the fire happened, and it took a long time to recover. I was in and out of the hospital and physical therapy. The sun isn't good for skin when it's trying to heal, so I just never came back. Even after it was okay to be in direct sunlight again, I no longer had the confidence to show up to a place where everyone revealed the most amount of skin they could get away with. Once again, I'm at a loss for what to say to her. I hate knowing the fire took away so much of her confidence, but I think I'm still clueless when it comes to how much it actually took away from her life. "It feels good to be back," she whispers. I squeeze her hand, because I'm sure that's all she really wants. We sit in silence again, and my mind keeps going back to what happened with Kyle in the hallway. I don't know how much she heard, but she's still here, so it couldn't have been much. However, to say she saw a different side to Kyle than I would have wanted her to see is an understatement. She probably thinks he's an asshole, and based on the few minutes she witnessed of him, I wouldn't blame her. "When I was in fourth grade, there was this older kid who used to pick on me," I tell her. "Every day on the bus, he would either hit me or say mean things to me. It went on for months, and there were a couple of times I would actually get off the bus with a bloody nose." "Jesus," she says. Kyle is a couple years older than me. He was in middle school, but we rode the same bus because we went to a fairly small school. One day, after the kid hit me right in front of Kyle, I expected him to take up for me, to beat the kid's ass because I'm his little brother. That's what big brothers are supposed to do, protect their little brothers from bullies. I stretch my legs out in front of me and sigh. But Kyle just sat there, staring at me. He never intervened. And when we got home, I was so angry with him. I told him it was his job as my brother to teach the bullies a lesson. He laughed and said, "And how will that teach you anything?" I didn't know what to say, because what the hell was I supposed to be learning by getting my ass kicked every day? Kyle said, "What is stopping one bully going to teach you? Nothing. If I intervened, what would you gain from that besides learning to rely on someone else rather than yourself? There will always be bullies, Ben. You need to learn how to deal with them yourself. You need to learn how to not let them get to you. And me beating up some kid for you isn't going to teach you a damn thing." Fallon faces me. "Did you listen to him?" I shake my head. "No, I went to my room and cried because I thought he was just being mean. And the kid continued to pick on me for weeks after that. But then one day, it just clicked. I don't know what it was, but I slowly started defending myself. I stopped letting him get to me as much as he did, stopped acting so scared around him. And after a while, when he realized his insults didn't bother me, he finally backed off." She's quiet, but I can tell she's wondering why I'm telling her this story. "He's a good brother," I say to her. "He's a good person. I hate that you saw the side of him you did today, because that's not him. He had a right to be upset with me, and no, I don't want to talk about it. But my brothers are really good people, and I just wanted you to know that." She's looking up at me appreciatively. I wrap my arm around her and pull her to my chest as I lay down on the blanket beneath us. I'm looking up at the stars now, surprised at how long it's been since I've actually seen them. "I was excited about the idea of having a sibling," she says. "I know I acted like I wasn't happy when my dad told me last year, but I've always wanted a sister or brother. Unfortunately, the girl my dad was engaged to wasn't pregnant after all. She thought he had money thanks to his semi-celebrity status. When she found out he was actually broke, she left him." Wow, I don't feel so bad about my family drama she witnessed today. "That's awful," I say to her. "Was he upset?" "Not that I care if he was upset. The man deserves any negative karma that's returned to him with the way he treated her that day." She shrugs. "I don't know. My mom told me all that. I haven't even spoken to him since last year." That makes me sad for her. As much of a douchebag as he is, he's still her father, so I know that has to hurt. What kind of person fakes pregnancy to trap a man? That's messed up. Although it does sound like a great plot line for a book. She laughs against my chest. "It's tripe and way overused as a subplot." She rests her chin on her arms and smiles at me. The moonlight is hitting her face, shining down on her like she's on a stage. Which reminds me, are you ever going to tell me about this rehearsal you mentioned earlier? What's it for? She loses the smile. Community theater, she says. Tomorrow is opening day, and we have dress rehearsals in the morning, which is why I need to be back so early. I don't have a lead role, and it doesn't pay anything, but I enjoy it, because a lot of the actors look to me for advice. I don't know why, maybe because I've had a lot of experience in the past, but it feels good. It's nice that I'm not cooped up in my apartment all the time. I like hearing that. What about work? My schedule is flexible. I'm still recording audiobooks, and I get enough work to pay the bills, so that's good. Although I did have to move apartments because my rent was a little steep, but overall, things are going well. I'm happy there. Good, I say to her, running my fingers through her hair. I'm happy you're happy there. And I am. But I'm not going to lie, a part of me was selfishly hoping I'd see her today and she'd tell me New York didn't work out, that she lives in LA again and she thinks her 5-year rule is stupid and that she wants to see me tomorrow. Do you even have a job? She asks. I can't believe I don't know that about you. I let you fondle my breasts and I don't even know what you do for a living. I laugh. I go to UCLA, full-time student with a double major, so it doesn't leave much time for work. But I don't have many bills. I have enough money left over from my mom's inheritance to support myself through college, so it works for now. What are your two majors? Creative writing and communications. The majority of writers don't have much luck finding a career to sustain themselves, so I want to have a backup plan. She smiles. You don't need a backup plan, because in a few years, you'll have a best-selling novel to pay your bills. I hope she doesn't actually think that. What's it called? She asks. What's what called? Our book. What's the title going to be? November 9. I watch her reaction, but her expression reveals nothing of what she thinks of the title. After a few seconds, she lays her head on my chest so I can't see her face anymore. I didn't tell you this last year, she says, her voice much quieter than before. But November 9th is the anniversary of the fire, and being able to look forward to seeing you on this date makes me not dread the anniversary as much as I used to. So thank you for that. I suck in a quiet breath, but before I can give her a response, she scoots closer and presses her lips firmly to mine.
Fallon, are you sure about this? He nods, but everything else about his demeanor says he's not. Half an hour ago, we were making out on the beach. 5 minutes into our kiss, he sat straight up and announced he wanted a tattoo. Tonight, he said. Right now. So here we are. He's sitting in the chair waiting on the tattoo artist, and I'm leaning against the wall, waiting for him to chicken out. He won't tell me what the tattoo means. He's getting the word poetic across his left wrist, written inside a music staff. I don't know why he won't tell me the meaning behind it, but at least it's not my name. I mean, I like the guy. A lot. But permanently inking a girl's name into your skin is a pretty alpha male thing to do this early on in a relationship, especially on the wrist. And why did I just refer to this as a relationship? Oh God, what if that's why he's getting a tattoo? What if he's trying to come off as more of a tough guy? I should probably warn him that he's doing it wrong. I clear my throat to get his attention. I hate to say this, Ben, but a wrist tattoo of the word poetic isn't very alpha male. It's quite the opposite, actually. You sure you don't want to go with a skull? Some barbed wire? Something bloody, maybe? His lip curls up into a crooked grin. Don't worry, Fallon. I'm not doing this to impress girls. I don't know why I love that answer as much as I do. The tattoo artist walks back into the room and points at Ben's wrist where he drew the outline of the tattoo a few minutes earlier.
If you like the placement, we'll get started.
The tattoo is sketched in ink from one side of his wrist to the other. He nods and tells the guy he's ready. Ben motions to me,
Can she sit in my lap and distract me?
The guy shrugs, pulling Ben's arm in front of him, but he says nothing. As soon as the thought begins to cross my mind that this guy is probably wondering what Ben is doing with someone who looks like I do, Ben interrupts my bout of insecurity.
Come here, he says, patting his leg. Distract me.
I do what he says, but the only way I can sit on his lap is if I straddle him. At least I'm in jeans, but I still feel awkward that I'm sitting like this in the middle of a tattoo parlor. Ben's hand comes to rest on my waist, and he squeezes. I can hear the buzz of the needle, and the slight difference in the sound, once it presses into his skin. He doesn't even make a face, other than giving me a tiny smile. I do what I can to distract him, so I continue the small talk we shared on the beach. What's your favorite color?
Malachite green.
I make a face. That's a very specific green, but okay.
It's what color your eyes are. Also happens to be my favorite mineral.
You have a favorite mineral?
Do now.
I look down to avoid him seeing my embarrassed smile straight on. I feel his hand squeeze my waist again. I'm guessing the needle is distracting him more than I am, so I throw out another question.
What's your favorite food?
Pad Thai, he says.
Yours?
Sushi. They're almost the same thing.
Not even close, he says.
They're both Asian food.
What's your favorite movie? These questions are boring. Try harder.
I drop my head back and look up at the ceiling as I think. Okay. Who was your first girlfriend? I ask, bringing my eyes back to him.
Bryn Fellows. I was 13.
I thought you said her name was Abatha. He grins.
You have a good memory.
I raise a serious brow. It's not that I have a good memory, Ben. I'm just insanely jealous and unstable when it comes to your past loves.
He laughs. Abatha was the first girl I kissed, not my first girlfriend. I was 15, dated her for a year.
Why'd you break up?
We were 16.
He says that like it's a valid reason. He can see the question in my expression, so he says,
that's what you do when you're dating at 16. You break up. What about you? Who was your first boyfriend?
Real or fake?
Either,
he says.
You?
I watch his eyes closely to see if there's pity in them, but it looks more like pride. How many people have you slept with? He tightens his mouth.
Not answering that.
More than 10?
Nope.
Less than 1?
Nope.
More than 5?
I don't kiss and tell.
I laugh. Yes, you do. In 5 years, you'll be telling the whole world about us in your book.
4 years,
he clarifies. When's your birthday? I ask him.
When's yours?
I asked you first.
But what if you're older than me? Isn't that a turnoff for girls, dating guys younger than them?
Isn't it a turnoff for guys to date girls with scars on over half their face? His hand squeezes my waist, and he eyes me hard.
Fallon.
He says my name like it's an entire lecture in itself. I was trying to be funny, I say. He doesn't smile.
I don't think self-deprecation is very funny.
That's only because you aren't the self who's doing the deprecating. The corner of his mouth twitches as he tries to hold back his smile.
July 4th, he says. The whole country celebrates my birthday every year. It's quite epic.
July 25th, which means you are officially older than me. I can safely pursue you now and not be considered a cougar. He runs his hand up my waist a couple of inches, and then his thumb moves side to side, slowly.
You can't pursue the willing, Fallon.
Oh, dang. He deserves a kiss for that comment. But there's a guy with a tattoo gun 2 feet away, and I'm not the type of girl who would make out with a guy in public. Apparently, I draw the line at straddling them.
There's something I need to know about you,
he says with a poignant stare.
And when I ask you this question, I want you to think very long and hard about the answer, because it might make or break this connection we have.
I swallow hard. Okay. What do you need to know? He winces just a little, and I'm not sure if it's from the tattoo gun or because he's nervous to ask the question.
Okay, he says. If you could only listen to one band for the rest of your life, which band would you choose and why?
I instantly relax. This is easy. I thought he was about to dig a whole lot deeper than my favorite band.
Ex-Ambassadors. Never heard of them, he says. I've seen them twice,
the guy with the tattoo gun says. Ben and I both look at him, but he's focused on his work. I look back at Ben and arch my eyebrow. Why would my favorite band make or break us?
A lot can be said about a person through their taste in music. Pretty sure I read that in one of the books you gave me. If you would have picked a band I hated, it would have been a major turnoff.
Well, you might still hate them once you listen to them, so we aren't in the clear yet.
In that case, I'll never listen to them, he says confidently.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
What's your favorite lyric by them?
He asks. It changes depending on my mood.
Well then, what's your favorite lyric right now?
I close my eyes briefly and hum one of the songs in my head until I get to the lyric that fits this moment. I open my eyes and smile. You're so gorgeous 'cause you make me feel gorgeous. A faint smile works its way across his mouth.
I like that, he says,
brushing his thumb across the skin of my waist. We stare at each other for a while. I can see the rise of his chest becoming more prominent, and knowing he's getting worked up despite having a needle piercing his skin makes me feel a little triumphant. I think about maybe just leaning forward and giving him a small peck on the mouth. But before I can, the tattoo artist says,
Done.
I slide off his lap and we look at the finished product before it's bandaged up. It turned out great, but I still don't know what prompted it, or why he needed it tonight. But I'm glad I got to be here with him while he had it done. He stands up and pulls his wallet out of his pocket to tip the guy. When he takes my hand in his to walk me to his car, every step I take grows heavier and heavier, because I know with each step, we're closer to another goodbye. On our drive to the airport, I'm on edge the entire way. I keep asking myself if this new urge to not want to get on that plane to go back to New York is a result of my feelings for Ben or for New York. I know I told him at the beach that I'm happy in New York, but I'm still almost as unhappy there as I was here. I just don't want him to know that. I'm hoping my involvement in the community theater will help me make a few more friends. After all, it's only been 1 year, but it's been a tough year. And as much as I tried to stick with the homework he gave me, going on audition after audition is exhausting when all I get are rejections. It makes me wonder if my father's right. I might be dreaming too big. And despite Ben having given me a lot of my confidence back, it doesn't make an industry built on looks any less shallow. And Broadway is so far out of my reach, it's laughable. The amount of people who show up for auditions makes me feel like a small ant in a massive colony. The only chance I probably have of standing out is if the role requires someone who actually has facial scars. And so far, I haven't gotten that lucky.
Do you need another dramatic airport scene?
He asks as we approach the terminal. I laugh and tell him absolutely not. So he parks in the parking garage this time. Before we walk inside the airport, he pulls me to him. I can see sadness in his eyes, and I know without a doubt he can see in my expression how much I don't want to say goodbye. He trails the backs of his fingers down my cheek, and I shiver.
I'll come to New York next year. Where do you want to meet?
In Brooklyn, I tell him. That's where I live. I want to show you around my neighborhood, and there's this really great tapas restaurant you have to try. I type the address to one of my favorite restaurants into his phone. I also type in the date and time, not that it's easily forgotten. I hand it back to him. He slides the phone in his back pocket and pulls me in for another hug. We hold the hug for at least 2 solid minutes, neither of us wanting to let go. His hand is cradled around the back of my head, and I try to memorize how his hand feels there. I try to memorize how he smells, just like the beach where we spent over 3 hours together tonight. I try to memorize how my mouth rests right at the height of his neck, as though his shoulders were made for me to rest my head on them. I lean into him and kiss his neck, a soft peck and nothing more. He lifts my head off his shoulder, tilting my face up to his, scrolling over my features.
I thought I was tougher than a word, he says, but I just discovered that having to say goodbye to you is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
I want to say, then beg me to stay, but his mouth is on mine, and he's kissing me hard. He's saying goodbye with the way his lips move over mine, the way his hands caress my cheeks, the way his mouth moves to my forehead and presses one single gentle kiss right in the center of it before he releases me. He practically pushes away from me, as if putting distance between us will make this any easier. He walks backward until he's at the edge of the curb, and all my words are lodged in my throat, so I press my lips tightly together and try not to let them loose. We stare at each other for several seconds. The pain in this goodbye evident in the air between us. And then he turns and jogs back toward the parking garage. And I try not to cry, because that would be silly. Right? I've never liked window seats, so when I hear the woman in the aisle seat say something to the effect of hating aisle seats, I offer her mine. I'm not scared of flying, unless I'm looking out the window. And if I'm in a window seat, I feel I'm taking it for granted if I don't look out the window, and then I spend the entire flight staring at the world below us, and it makes me panic more than if I just don't put myself in that position. I set my purse beneath the seat in front of me and try to get comfortable. I'm relieved Ben is coming to New York next year, because the flight from LA to New York is one of my least favorite things. I close my eyes and hope I can get a few hours of sleep. I won't have time to sleep before rehearsals tomorrow, and I would just sleep in but tomorrow is opening day and I have to be there for the last rehearsal.
Hey.
I hear Ben's voice and smile, because that means I'm definitely going to sleep just fine if I'm already confusing reality with dreams.
Fallon.
My eyes flick open. I look up to see Ben standing.